Tiger fans, welcome back to another episode of Talking Tigers. This is your host, Wesley Burris, and my co-host, Taylor Griggs. And this week, Clemson narrowly escaped a battle with the Orange, had a crazy week on and off the field up in Tiger Town. And you know what? Good teams find a way to win. That's what Clemson did on Saturday. All I have to say about it is, I will get this out here right now, I feel like everybody knows this, Syracuse probably should have won the football game, but they didn't, and I'll tell you exactly why. I was pointing this out to Taylor just a few minutes ago before we started this recording. Clemson had 293 yards rushing, Syracuse had 61. Even with the fact that Clemson turned the ball over 4 times to 1, it did not matter because they pounded the rock, they were effective in stopping the run, and that's where they dominated the football game. I mean, Syracuse had opportunities all afternoon, it seemed like, and didn't get it done in the red zone. They were held to three field goals in the first half. And I think on two of those, they could have had a legit opportunity to score touchdowns. And if they score one touchdown, Taylor, then it's a different ending to the game. Clemson would have been playing to tie. I mean, and that's a bunch of ifs. And I'm not trying to be negative on this podcast because I think – that a lot of Tiger fans know what they watched on Saturday was absolutely nerve-wracking. I know that if I were a Clemson fan, I would have felt the same way. That's 2 years in a row that a quarterback has gone down against the Orange, has gotten hurt. They play a very wild and crazy style of offense. Dungy didn't quite get going as much as I predicted that he would. And, Taylor, you predicted an upset win for the Orange.
I did.
27-24. And damn if you didn't get the score about right, but you had the outcome in the wrong way. So,
yes.
All right. So your thoughts about the game, your takeaways, because, I mean, and we'll get into the stats and whatnot and talk about that. And I got a little preview for Wake Forest this week. But
like you said, I just think they know that it was probably a lot closer than they wanted it to be. And
absolutely.
A lot of mistakes.
You weathered the storm.
Yes.
If Trevor Lawrence is in that football game, there's no doubt in my mind that it's not quite as tight. I mean, I think Clemson probably walks out of there with a double-digit win, don't you think? I would think they would have probably put up – if they put up 27 points, probably wouldn't have leaned on ETN as much, but maybe that kind of shows you going forward – you can definitely trust this guy. I mean, I've been saying all year long, he spins around, he has a good pad level, he has great vision, holds on to the football, doesn't turn it over. 203 yards, I think. We'll get into that in a second. 3 touchdowns. He's the first running back since Spiller in 2009 to accomplish that feat, over 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, in rarefied air as far as it goes with Clemson running backs. And when it's all said and done, I think if he wouldn't have kind of been on the back burner a little bit last year for part of the year, I mean, I think they ran him a good amount. He could be one of the best backs they've ever had, and statistically probably won't be, because I don't know if Travis Etienne is at Clemson more than next season, guys. And I could see him staying. You know, we've seen different. They had the entire defensive line come back this year when – you know, I think 3 of them could have left, and definitely probably at least 2 of them would have been first-round picks. But this kid's special. He's a hell of a talent. He can catch the ball. He can block a little bit. But his running is outstanding. His vision's great. And even though the offensive line has looked, I won't say mediocre, but maybe not up to snuff from what everybody thought they could be, he's gotten it done. And I hate to admit it, he's fun to watch because he is electric. And he almost, I won't say single-handedly, offensively for Clemson, yes, he single-handedly dismantled, yes, Syracuse's defense. But the story of the day to me is the fact that, you lose Trevor Lawrence, who was having an okay day. He still led the team in passing. And when did he get knocked out? Was it the end of the first or was it early in the second quarter? I think it was early in the second quarter. I might be wrong on that. I can't remember. I haven't rewatched the game like I usually do. I go back and look at it again, but – look, man, all that I have to say, they're saying that it's a neck strain or some sort of something like that, and they're saying it's not serious, so it's no serious head trauma or whatnot. He should be back this week. Got a very similar style of offense you're playing this week in Wake Forest, so I'm pretty sure the Tigers are prepared. Their defense was tested the other day. They were put in some bad positions, horrible field position, and they stepped up. They forced Syracuse to kick field goals several times. I think it ended up being four times where they could have easily given up a touchdown. I know at least on three of those drives they could have, where they just started in poor field position with their backs against the wall, and, man, they bowed up. Taylor, they were all over Dungy. He had a subpar day. He threw a pick. He did not throw a touchdown. He did have a rushing touchdown, but didn't amount to much rushing on the ground. Their leading rusher had 24 yards. So, I mean, Clemson's defense was ferocious. They were all over the place. They'd made plays over and over and over. And this is just – this is nothing new. I mean, with that front four, combined with the fact that I think Clemson has really good talent at linebacker, and I don't know so much about the secondary. It's hit or miss. But, hell, the secondary didn't have to – it's not like they got torched the other day. Last year against Syracuse, gave up bigger plays. It was up there. This year in the Valley – they stepped up, and even with their backs against the wall, down 16-7 at the half. If that would have been 20-7 at the half, it could have possibly been insurmountable, especially with the way the Tigers turned the football over. They did ended up not doing that, so you get the results you got. They persevere, they win, and it's a big win because Syracuse was undefeated. And I think Syracuse is a solid football team. Do not get me wrong. I just don't feel like in the trenches they match up with Clemson at all on either side of the football. So, that being said, Clemson's gotten through their toughest test thus far because they led pretty much the whole way against Texas A&M and held on at the end against Syracuse. They had to come from behind. It. I mean, it was 23-13. You and I both thought that it was probably over. I didn't say that it was over. I was the one saying, I'll believe it when I see it. And not trying to, you know, toot my own horn, but I knew – that Syracuse wasn't moving the football. The only reason that they were scoring is because Clemson was shooting themselves in the foot. It wasn't like they were going up and down the field on Clemson. Now, the first couple drives, the field goal drives early, yeah, they were. They were outplaying them. But what did Clemson do? You hold them to field goals. And you see it all the time in the NFL.
But don't break.
Absolutely. When you hold teams to field goals, that's a victory. It really is. 3 points ain't going to beat you,
unless
man.
It's Seattle or Arizona.
You know, it's simple, and it's one of the dumbest things that can be said. But it's like Spurrier said, yeah, one touchdown, that beats two field goals. I mean, because it does. Most coaches hate kicking field goals because you like to have a great field goal kicker. You like to know you've got that in your back pocket. But you're not going to win a lot of big games with field goals. You've got to score touchdowns. So, that being said, let's run through the stats really quick. If you want to chime in and say anything, because we're trying to keep these podcasts short because I have early work. We've been fiddle farting around and hadn't gotten started till late. That's my bad. And we just want to keep these brief this week. And probably a little briefer than last week, and we apologize for that. But we'll come back with some better content down the road. There's just not that much to say, honestly. You had all the off-the-field stuff with Kelly Bryant. It seems that Clemson is going to make it through that all right. I don't think Chase Brice is what most Clemson fans want as the backup quarterback. But he served his purpose the other day. He didn't make too many mistakes, and he handed the ball to Travis Etienne when he was told to,
yes.
And that seemed to work out pretty damn well. So let's run through the let's do the scoring summary first, and we'll just run through that really quickly. Field goal for Syracuse, 9:49 into the game, gives up 3-0. They added another field goal from 51 yards out with 8:26 left in the first, just after a Clemson turnover, go up 6-0. With 54 seconds left in the first quarter, Travis Etienne, his first touchdown of the day, a one-yard run. Greg Hugel kick makes it 7-6. With 7:31 left in the first half, Dungy plunges in from 1 yard out. Andrews Mick makes a kick, makes it 13-7. And then with 24 seconds left in the half, Syracuse is stymied and held to a field goal right there at the end. They take a lead into halftime 16-7. Lawrence had gone down by this point in time. Clemson's offense was looking anemic. And in the third quarter, Clemson starts to mount their comeback. This is where they really they dominated the second half. It's just that simple. They make a field goal, 43-yarder with 4:09 left in the third to go cut the lead to 16-10. And then Hugel makes another one from 37 yards out just a couple minutes later after a turnover to make it 16-13. That's where Syracuse kind of shot themselves in the foot there. With 12:58 left in the game, Dungy runs it in again. Oh, he had two rushing touchdowns. I did not know that. 23, makes it 23-13. Now, at this point in time, I know the Natives were getting restless up there in Tiger Town. 11 minutes and 8 seconds left in the game. Travis Etienne, big 26-yard run. punches it in, cuts it to 23-20. And then with 41 seconds left in the game, he plunges in from 2 yards out. Hugel makes the kick. They go up by four. And, you know, not much can be done from that point in time. Syracuse in desperation mode to try to score. Can't get it done. And the Tigers come out with a win 27-23. So, I would do the stats real quick, if that's cool with you. And then we could kind of touch on what we thought about the game again. I think we already have said mostly what we can say about this game, and we can get into next week in just a moment. First down, Clemson had the advantage 28-12. That's big. That's a huge advantage. You average in a game usually between 20 and 30. So 28-12, that's just bad. Third down efficiency, the Tigers were a little bit more efficient, 5 of 15. Syracuse was 3 of 15. On fourth downs, Clemson was a perfect 2 for 2. Syracuse was 1 of 2. Total yards, Clemson outgained them 469-311. So 158 yards. That's basically two touchdown drives. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's two normal touchdown drives. You outgained that team. That's why you won the football game. Passing, Syracuse had 250 to Clemson's 176. 26 of 41. Clemson was 17 of 29 as a team. Yards per pass, they both had 6.1 on the nose, yards per pass. Both teams threw an interception. Clemson had the major advantage in rushing, 293-61. Syracuse had that on 26 attempts. Clemson ran the ball 53 times Saturday. Nice. But averaged 5.5 yards a carry. Syracuse only averaged 2.3. You're not going to win many football games averaging 2 yards a carry, man. Penalties, Clemson was near perfect, 3 of 16. I mean, that 3 for 16 yards, I should say.
3 of 16.
Well, no, I said that wrong. But 3 for 16 yards, which is not bad at all.
No.
Syracuse 5 of 31. That's sort of clean, too. That's not very bad. Clemson had 3 turnovers. I misspoke a while ago. I said 4. 3 turnovers to 1. They lost 2 fumbles and threw a pick. Syracuse had the pick. And time of possession, Clemson had the edge by over 5 minutes. So Clemson dominated the stats. They did not dominate the game, but they dominated the second half. When it mattered, they dominated. And when their defense needed to make plays, they made plays. Simple as that. The better team won this football game, even without their starting quarterback, without their starting 2 quarterbacks. They won this football game. So that says a lot about the depth of this team. That says, it really doesn't say much for Chase Bryce. He was asked not to go out there and screw things up, and he didn't. So, I'm not trying to take anything away from the kid and say he's not a playmaker. It remains to be seen. But I'm pretty sure you'll have Lawrence back this weekend. And this next game, it's big too, because it's a division game, and Clemson's all about winning championships right now. Let's just say it is what it is. Clemson is playing for titles, and they rule this division. And it looks like right now the only roadblock in my mind, barring any injuries, because anything can happen, don't get me wrong, NC State seems to be the only team standing in their way. Syracuse posed a serious threat the other day, more so than I thought. You were correct in predicting that it would be a close game.
I am a football savant.
No, you are not, but you did pick games
as
better than I did.
As you will see by our pick 'em.
Oh, well, that is true on the Inside the Line show. Yeah, you might see that. I had a bad week. But
a savant.
That being said, yeah, okay. I think that Clemson is going to be fine going forward. Florida State does not look good. I'm taking nothing away from the schedule. You play who you play. You know, look, coaches get turned around, players get hurt, things happen. You play who you play. And Clemson has pretty much smashed everybody so far, with the exception of A&M, who I think is a pretty damn good football team. Syracuse, who I think is a damn good football team. And I think they've already passed 2 of their 3 biggest tests of the season in my mind. Because I'm just saying NC State might be the team, because they're looking pretty solid right now. I don't think they're as good as they were last year, and maybe they are, but I don't think they're as good defensively, I should say. I think offensively they might be around the same, maybe, you know, whatever. It remains to be seen. This week, a big contest against Wake Forest. Not a game that I think is going to be close. Your initial thoughts, Taylor, about Clemson laying 17 points to Wake? We'll get into our predictions later. What do you think? Have you watched Wake Forest play any of this
No.
year? You haven't seen anything?
No. They're All not. Right.
I'll say this about Wake. When the Clawson took over a couple years ago. I liked his offensive scheme. It's very similar to the style that Syracuse runs, maybe a few less passes. They like to run a read option. They like an athletic quarterback. They lost a good one in John Wolford last season. He ran the ball very effectively, threw it all over the place. I think he threw for like 3,300 yards last year. He was a good quarterback. He really was. And I want to say he got banged up during the Clemson game. That was a game where Clemson went out to like a 21-0 lead really early, and then Wake kind of clawed their way back in it, but still lost by 14 late. It was never really a ball game, honestly. But Wake Forest was a tenacious team last year. They were damn good. This season has been a little up and down. Oh, man, sorry about that. Dropping stuff here. They've had an up and down year. Right now, I think they're, 3-2? Pretty sure. They lost to, not NC State, they lost to Boston College and Notre Dame to, one of those games was close. Boston College, they lost 41-24. Lost to Notre Dame, I think it was 56-28. I'll look that up really quickly. Yeah, 56-27, sorry. So going into this game, and I think Notre Dame is a really solid ball club. I really do. Wake beat Tulane week one, 23-17 in overtime. But Tulane, other than the big beatdown Ohio State gave them, Tulane is not a horrible football team. They're not. And Wake Forest is going to probably play teams like that closer than somebody like Clemson would. They beat Towson 51-20.
Okay.
They lost to BC 41-34, a game they easily could have won. Notre Dame just beat the hell out of them. I called that, and I thought that line was a lot smaller than what it should have been. I think it ended up being like 7 or 8. Notre Dame had some close games, and I don't think people gave them enough credit. They're just athletically way superior to Wake Forest. And they started a new quarterback and just shredded them through the air, but also added about 240 on the ground. 600 yards of offense or so, that got it done, and they just pounded Wake Forest into the dirt. Wake beat the hell out of Rice last week, 56-24. Rice is a rushing team, ran for a lot of yards against Wake. I really think Wake's defense is way worse than it was last year. I mean, I'll give you some numbers really quickly. Offensively, Wake Forest is scoring 38.2 points a game. Now, three games against inferior competition will help you do that. 31.6 is what they're giving up a game defensively. Scoring. That's not good. You're giving up 30 points a game, you got problems. Now you're scoring 38, but you look at their two losses, they're just giving up really big numbers. So that kind of leads me to believe that this line is probably about right, if maybe a little low. And I think this line came out at where it did because they're assuming that Lawrence would play, but it's possible that he doesn't. I think he's definitely going to play, and I'm sorry if I don't know that they've made the official announcement, but I didn't have time to do a ton of research today, but I did what I did. I'm going to give you some numbers on Wake real quick. What do you think about the line?
It does seem
if
a
you
little
just
low.
Glanced at, if you just glanced at that,
I would think
you would
low.
Circle Clemson.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
No, I don't feel like it was. It's a no. I mean.
It's not enough points.
To take, yeah.
Well, I'll get into our predictions in a minute, but I want you to hear some of these stats because I know you don't know them.
Wow.
Wake Forest is led by quarterback Sam Hartman. He's a 6'1", 185-pound freshman. He's 58% completion percentage for the year, 1,185 yards, 10 touchdowns. He also has 208 rushing yards. He's the third leading rusher on the team. Running back, Cade Carney. 5'11", 215-pound junior. He has 428 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. And he's backed up by Matt Colburn, a 5'10", 200-pound senior, who has 262 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, a very balanced team. They like to throw it a little bit more than they run it, but they like to do both. And in this offense, it can be up-tempo. They like to usually run about 3 or 4 wide. They will employ some tight ends here or there, sometimes 2 backs. They like to be a little multiple out of the shotgun. It's going to pretty much be all shotgun. They'll go 5 wide some, and I'm sure they'll do a lot of what they did last year. This Hartman kid seems to be in the same kind of mold as a Wolford. He's not super tall, but he's athletic. He's shifty. He's a little small side, but the passing numbers are there. If his completion percentage, probably they'd like that to be a little bit higher, but they're throwing a ton, and they've played a couple of tough football teams. Let's be real here. Their wide leading receiver is Greg Gorch, who is torching teams. 45 catches already this season. 45. for 555 yards, triple nickels, and another nickel, five touchdowns. That's big time. 5'9", 170. So just a, must be just a speed demon. I haven't watched him play much. I have seen him make a couple big catches, though. Sage Surratt is a big play threat at wide receiver as well. He's 6'3", 210. He can stretch the field. 19 catches for 280 yards. Doesn't sound like a ton, but hell, that's some teams leading receivers around that 280, 300-yard mark at this point in time. So this Greg Gortch guy, 555, 45 catches already, a big part of their offense. I mean, that's some people's whole season, 45 catches in college football. And there's a lot of football left to be played. Now, Clemson's laying 17 points here. I think if you ask me what I would predict this score, I'm going to ask you your prediction first. Because I'm kind of torn of what I want to predict this as, but I think I've got it in my head. What kind of game are you looking to see this weekend?
Cleaner. I feel like they're going to get a little talking to probably at practice about how sloppy they played.
Yes, there were a lot of problems.
So I expect this game to be a lot cleaner, and I think they're going to run all over them.
Yes, I would agree. I think that
if Lawrence doesn't play, they're surely going to run all over him.
Well, you know, God Almighty, this thing won't let me exit out of here, man. Really? Okay. Let's just not worry about that.
So man. I could see like.
So I mean, well, they're hosting Clemson at 3:30.
37-14.
I don't think you're far off. I think Wake is going to struggle mightily against this defense. I think the way you neutralize, and this, I'm not a coach. I know less about football than a ton of people. But I think the way you neutralize the Clemson attack is to get rid of the ball quickly. I feel like a team, tell me what you think. I feel like a team like a Texas Tech.
Yes.
Or somebody like that would have a better shot at moving the ball consistently against Clemson. Because you're getting rid of the ball, little 5-yard passes, little stuff like that, go up top every once in a while. Because you can't run on this football team, man. You can't do it. A&M did it early and did not do it successfully for the rest of the game. You cannot run between the tackles on this team.
You can't drop.
You can't run cute plays against this team. Option plays don't work in particular. Georgia Tech lined up, and yeah, they run it freaking 60 times a game. They weren't successful. They moved the ball some, don't get me wrong, but a lot of those scores Georgia Tech had were late. They were getting clobbered in that game. I mean, that was against second team players, man. So you can't run against Clemson. I think Wake's only shot in this game, honestly, is if Travis Etienne does not play, Trevor Lawrence does not play, and
the whole front four.
The entire front four doesn't play. That's the only shot Wake Forest has to win this football game because I think the 17 points is too low of a line. I think it's really disrespectful to Clemson because of what happened with the Syracuse game last week. I think that's why they're getting the disrespect. They dropped down in the polls, which doesn't make too much sense to me. Just like it doesn't make sense for Virginia Tech, who got walloped by Old Dominion, to all of a sudden beat Duke, and now you put them back in the rankings. The rankings are horse crap. I mean, period. They don't matter because Clemson's number three. As long as they don't drop to fifth, which they won't if they keep winning, they're fine. They're going to be in the damn playoff. It doesn't matter. Take care of business. Run the table here. If you don't run the table, you stumble with a loss. You win the ACC, you're probably going to still find yourself in a playoff because the way I look at college football this season, Ohio State had a war with Penn State the other night. That outcome could have gone the other way easily. And Ohio State could have slipped. I think Washington is really strong. I said that early in the season. I said I thought that Washington, Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State were your playoff teams. I can't go against that now because Ohio State just survived in Happy Valley. Didn't cover the spread, but they won the football game in an exciting game. And Washington clobbered a very good BYU football team to redeem themselves from the early season loss to Auburn. Clemson has taken care of business at every turn, and Alabama is smoking people. So I think, you know, as of right now, I'm not backing down off that prediction, and I'm looking pretty smart. But, I mean, a lot of people pick those four teams. So this week I think Clemson, I'm going to give you my prediction. I don't think Wake can get a lot done offensively at all. I do think they find a way to score a couple of times, but I would not be surprised for them not to punch it in the end zone. I really wouldn't. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to give Wake – I'm going to give them 10 or 13 points here, and I'm probably leaning somewhere around man, I don't know, because their defense has not been able to stop the run or the pass. If Trevor Lawrence is 100% healthy, I'm going to say this is probably 44-13, 44-10. If Lawrence is not healthy, or if Clemson makes some mistakes, I could see Wake maybe putting 17 points on the board and Clemson beating them by 20. But I think the 17-point line, I would take Clemson all day. Even those you guys that are Clemson fans that don't like to bet your team because you don't – you know, you don't want to lose money on them and all that kind of stuff. I think this is honestly a cakewalk this week because Wake is so bad defensively. Now, offensively, can they throw some wrinkles out there at Clemson? I'm sure they can. Clemson went through a war last week. Clemson has had a couple close games this year. So I could see this game, if it got really weird, I could see Clemson winning this game something like 34-20, something like that, and not covering the spread. But I think this is a double-digit win all day. I don't think Wake Forest is good enough to hang with Clemson. I could see Clemson turning this into a rout. So, honestly, what I just did is babble a bunch and not really give you a concrete prediction as Taylor did. But, yeah, I'll say it's something like that. I honestly think this is going to be possibly like a 44-13 game. I think Clemson is better than Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat the shit out of them, 56-27. I'm not even going to look back at that game. It doesn't matter. I think Clemson's defense is way better than Notre Dame's defense. And Notre Dame did run through Stanford this week, so Wake played them maybe a little bit better than Stanford did. But whatever, I just think Clemson's front is too much for this team to handle. I think this young quarterback is going to be under the most amount of pressure he's ever been in any football game in his life. I think Clemson's speed will kill him, and I think ETN goes off for about another .50. That's what I think. I just do. I think he's going to play his way. If he has a couple more games like he did last Saturday, he'll be in the Heisman talk. There's no doubt in my mind because he's electrifying. I mean, I think he's averaging over 7 yards a carry. He's getting it done. So, big win for the Tigers this week. They'll continue going forward. I think that's pretty much all we got to say about this week's game. I'm in last week, so I'm going to wrap this up. And we'll try to bring you a little bit more content next week. I'll try to throw a little something out there, stretch the show out a little bit. Sorry it's a little shorter than normal, but that's the way it is this week. Wanted to bring you a recap anyway. So thanks for listening. This is a Win or Die Sports production. I appreciate it very much. And we'll see you next week, Tigers.
And now, it's the song that shakes the Southland. Tiger Run!